Let us pray. God of hope, who never lets go, draw near to us in these ancient words. By your Holy Spirit, may we be filled, lifted up, and leveled as you prepare in our hearts the path of your coming. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. Listen now for the word of the Lord. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. They shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be one of peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel this morning comes from Luke chapter 1. I know in your bulletin it says chapter 1 verses 46b through 55. Now, we follow the Revised Common Lectionary. The lectionary kind of divides up the chapters as they see fit, and sometimes they get it wrong. So we are going to read the full passage, which is the passage of Mary and Elizabeth seeing one another and experiencing the joy of their impending births together and sharing this moment. So I'm going to read from verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he has made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We gather here today on this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of love. Christmas is, of course, just 3 days from now. If you haven't got your shopping done, good luck. We have been moving to this place and time for several weeks, beginning even before Thanksgiving. That's when we hosted the parade of trees, and our fellowship hall was full of all kinds of decorated Christmas trees. Our committees began planning for worship and special dinners and receptions, The choir began rehearsing special music for this season. People have been enlisted to read and light candles. We've had a special worship service for those who are grieving. We have outfitted and fulfilled the obligations of two angel trees, and we have had two memorial services as well. That speaks nothing about what we have going on in our personal lives outside these walls. And I don't know about you, but I'm a little tired. I mean, I think some of us really deserve a trophy or a medal for having made it this far in the season. And if we make it through Christmas, I think we need a participation ribbon at the very least. So this morning, I invite all of us just to breathe for a moment. Just breathe deeply and remember we are here in this place and time because of love. We are here because of God's great love for all of creation, because God humbled God's self to become like us and walk among us, to live and to die and rise from the dead so we can all know God more fully and be part of God's great family. We are here to make the final preparations to re-welcome God into our lives, the church, and the world. And we're able to do this because God loves us as we are today, right now. God loves us. So just breathe for a minute and rest in that love. This morning, our passage is a glorious testament to the way God loves the world and all that's in it. Throughout both testaments, the Old and the New, we read story after story telling us it is not good for human beings to be alone. And this passage illustrates God's desire for us to be connected to God and to each other. Connection and community is one of the themes at the heart of this passage. We can all enjoy the idea of this. It sounds so lovely and warm and comforting. Communion and connection and community. But there is also challenge for us. As Mary reminds us in the gospel reading that our connections are with God and ourselves and with others, even those that societies for thousands of years have pushed aside or judged or devalued. So today, this Sunday is steeped in God's love for us and the challenge to accept that love. But what a glorious challenge that is, too. First, we read God desires community with humanity and has built all of creation on relationships. The whole of our understanding of God is built on God's relationship with us as creator, as parent, as sibling, and shepherd. It is all about relationship with God. As Jesus, God walked this earth and made friends. Jesus was rarely alone. God wept at the pain of death and grief. So it's no surprise that at the center of God's impending incarnation and birth, that there would be connection and community. It is central to our understanding of who God is in Jesus, that God took on our human form to be in greater relationship with us and to teach us how to live, to provide for all of humanity and creation a way to salvation, to relationship with God and one another. Community and connection are at the core of God's presence in our world. And we see a very in the flesh illustration of this connection in Mary and Elizabeth. They were connected by family, by religion, by having seen angelic messengers, and they were both having miracle babies. They were bound together on the outside of social norms. Elizabeth knew what it was like to be the barren one. And Mary, of course, was not married. So both knew what it was like to be in precarious social positions. But they were drawn together in these moments of expectation to affirm one another, to support and love one another, and perhaps even protect and buffer each other from the people who around them did not understand what was happening. And then they offer thanks and praise to God who was bringing all of this about. Here they are, two women clinging to each other, connected by God's love for them and for the world. And as we read this passage, it is a very dignified passage. And I don't doubt that Elizabeth and Mary articulated their joy very well. But I also think, knowing women and men as we do, but whenever we see one another, and we know we're both expecting or someone is expecting, there's a little bit of giddiness, or perhaps a lot of giddiness. And I know Elizabeth was so dignified and Mary responded in such a way, but I bet that there was that moment whenever they both looked at each other and said, I can't believe it, so good to see you, you're pregnant, how are you doing? Is it gonna get in? Oh, just a joy, connection. Here we are together, hugs all around, the way we do when we expect great and wonderful things, when we're relieved to see one another and we're doing okay, and the pregnancy's going fine, and you don't have to be in this alone. What a joyous connection they have with each other in those moments. And they come seeking it out. And it is a blessing, an absolute blessing, to have this moment in Scripture when these two people connect and build their little community in these moments. In these moments, we understand God is taking our relationship with God and one another to a new level. God is creating something new, but instead of making a clean slate in an Old Testament story like sending a great flood or an earthquake to swallow up a city or something, God says this new beginning, this redemption, is literally going to be born into the world. God's going to create something new through the messy and the vulnerable love of and for a child born in a stable. God, out of love, comes to join us in community, to be with us, to teach us firsthand about the joy of loving God and loving each other. And we read how God chose to become vulnerable, to be born to someone who was herself vulnerable. God chose this way of being in this world because it is the lowly whom God lifts up and the mighty whom God scatters. It is as one of the vulnerable that God will live and die. Through this passage, we hear Elizabeth and Mary proclaiming that love is the great power of God in the hearts of human beings. Love is the lens through which God demands we see the world, to see human beings who are hurting, who are ignored, who are oppressed, who are voiceless, who are economically challenged, who are alone, who need healing. It is through love that God reaches out to draw us in together, bound like Mary and Elizabeth in community. Love is the power God exercises in the world and through which we are saved and through which we are transformed by God, who is love. Now, there are some challenges that go along with this, because loving is not always easy. The challenge is to lift up ourselves and value ourselves if we are outside the social mainstream. Mary and Elizabeth did this. They embraced their circumstances. And so we look to them and we say, it's important to love ourselves and where God is with us. We may not love ourselves as God loves us or value ourselves as God does, because life is a struggle. We may curse our bodies because they don't do what we want them to do anymore, or because they're a source of pain that limits our work and therefore limits our value. We may feel like we can never get ahead financially, and the world is stacked against us, and therefore we're not as important as others with larger bank accounts and stability. We may grow frustrated because our voices aren't heard, because society pushes us aside and says, your rights are not as valuable as mine. But in Mary's song, we hear that God's love is at work for people in just these circumstances. God's love does not diminish, but God's energy focuses on lifting up the lowly, as Mary puts it. Today, our passage lifts up those among us who have been beaten down. So if you believe yourself to be one of these, hear these words. God sent Christ for you out of immeasurable love. And may you be lifted up as God turns this world that he has made. As we count down the last few days until Christmas, we're called to remember that God stands with the vulnerable and to consider how we might stand with them too. How do we pray for those who are most vulnerable? Do we see them as members of God's family, or do we judge them and turn away? Do we see Mary in those who are lowly? Do we see Jesus with her too? Would we turn away from people who come here seeking community, even though they are very different from those of us who gather every Sunday? Who are the lowly in our community? Can we see people through the lens of God's love for the world rather than through the skewed lens of modern politics and economics and social values? Can we see through the lens of love as God does, and as God calls us to do? Can we participate in the lifting up and the changing of the world? What would that look like if that opportunity came knocking on our doors? A few years ago, I served a congregation that was just down the block from a big Catholic church. It was much like Inverness used to be before the hospital kind of just grew. There was a church street almost where you know, there was First Baptist, then there's First Methodist, then there was the Episcopal Church, then there was the AME Church, and then there was the Presbyterian Church, and then around the corner was the Catholic Church, all right in a row. The Catholic Church was just around the corner from us, and from time to time, people would come into our sanctuary and have really strange looks on their faces, and we knew immediately they were in the wrong place. We would go to them and say, Catholic Church, right? Yeah? Well, you needed to go one more corner. You know, you didn't go quite far enough. Just go around the corner. It's right there. You'll see it. You just didn't go far enough. And one Sunday, two gentlemen came in, and they did not speak English, and we assumed they too were looking for the Catholic Church, which had a great Spanish speaking language service and served many in the community through that. And so we just assumed they too had not gone far enough and just needed to go around the corner. And we told them this, we tried to tell them this, we tried to relate it to them, and they were trying to tell us something else. And we were having none of, they didn't speak English. Those of us standing in the sanctuary greeting them didn't speak Spanish. And so we finally remembered that there was someone in our congregation who did. And so we went and got him, and he got us all sorted out. And we discovered that, yes, indeed, these gentlemen were Presbyterians from Mexico. They were not looking for the Catholic Church. And so, as it turned out, one of them was actually an ordained Presbyterian minister. And in Tabasco, the area of Tabasco, Mexico, he served a parish of 5 churches. He would preach at his home church on Sunday where he lived, and then he would travel to the next 4 as he was able, but he did not have a car, so he had to walk. And so he would make it back home towards the end of the week about the time it was time to start over again. And he had come to the States to work for a few months in order to get enough money to buy a car so he could minister to the churches more effectively and not abandon his family every week. As you can imagine, as we were standing there, they came back for, you know, week after week. And I must admit that not once did anyone ask their immigration status. We welcomed them into worship. We welcomed them to Sunday school and prayer meeting. And while their English got a little bit better, they weren't fluent by the time they left, and neither were the rest of us fluent in Spanish. But as they joined us for worship, there were times whenever the hymns we sung were familiar tunes to them, and they sung those tunes in Spanish. When we said the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer, they said it in Spanish. They did not understand the sermon, but they understood passing Christ's peace. So when they went home, we stayed in touch with them for a while and even tried to work out a shared ministry between our presbyteries. And while that didn't work out, the pastor instead did get the car and ministered for a while to his 5 parishes. But then he was called to a larger congregation that was large enough to support him on its own, and he was able to minister to that one larger congregation. These two men were very vulnerable, and they helped the congregation experience seeing the world through the lens of God's love. When we met them, they were not abstract issues debated in the public arena. They were brothers in Christ seeking community for a time. They were looking for mercy and welcome. They were making themselves vulnerable by showing up as they came seeking communion and a church family, as they were in a foreign land. And we tried to be instruments of God's love and to be Christ to them as they were to us. Our world and our community are full of people who need to be seen through the power of God's love. Our congregation is full of people who need to be seen through the lens of the power of God's love. There are many faithful Christians who need to be transformed by God's love so we can be merciful and just and uplifting. And God's love for us is more than an emotion to sell pop songs, but it is the power to transform the very world in which we live. And we receive it in the form of a tiny baby, born vulnerable to live vulnerably. And in this, to reconcile the world through the love that draws us all together, one in Christ Jesus. So may we pray for and lift up the lonely. May we welcome in strangers seeking community. May we see others and each other and ourselves through God's love. And may we offer thanks that God loves us enough to send Christ and to be Christ, all so we might be part of the great family of faith, to have connection and to be in community. Amen.